How you doing, Planet Shakers? Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm getting ready to preach a word about choosing miracles. I believe that there are miracles on the other side of our choices, that God wants to help us with our choices in life. Check this word out. Are you ready to get into the word? Awesome. I want to preach today about choosing miracles. Who knows that God's got miracles for us? That's good. We're on board this morning. Who knows that God's got miracles for us? I believe that God has miracles for you. For some of you, He has a miracle for you today. Maybe there's a miracle that He's about getting ready to get working in your life right now. But not only do I believe God's got miracles for you, I believe that there are miracles that God wants to work through you to reach the world around us. And I want to talk today about choosing miracles. Can you yell at me for a moment? Say, choosing miracles. Come on, more force. Say, choosing miracles. Come on, now yell at if you believe it. Say, I choose miracles. Come on, me too. I want to preach today. I'm going to use the story of a man that I haven't heard preached about for a while. But I used to hear him preach about in Sunday school all the time. He's a good Sunday school story. He is the man, Elijah. Did you just say Elijah? You threw me. You said something. Stop talking. I want to talk today about Jonah. The man Jonah. Now Jonah has an incredible story. If you remember the story of Jonah, God appears to Jonah one day and gives him a word. Said, Jonah, I want you to go preach my word. I want you to go to this city over here. And Jonah ran that way. God wanted him there, but he ran over here. And if you know the story, he winds up in the middle of a big storm and on a ship, and he gets thrown overboard and swallowed by a big fish. Crazy story. This is why it's good in Sunday school. And there he was, the Bible tells us, in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Coincidentally, Jesus was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. But there was Jonah in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, excuse me. But he repented. And if you know the story, he gets himself back on land. He repents to God and says, God, okay, I'm ready to follow you and to obey you. And so he goes to the city. He preaches the message. It's an incredible story. God works miracles through him. Somebody say, choosing miracles. Come on, let's pray before we get into the word today. God, we thank you for your power that is here. We thank you for your presence that is here. God, I thank you that all it takes is one moment. Sometimes all it takes is one word, just one encounter with your presence and your power. And God, this morning I pray for each and every one of us here, Lord, for that one word, for that one encounter. God, I pray that we wouldn't walk out these doors the same today. God, maybe there are people watching online and this is the word that they need to hear right now. God, I thank you that there's power on your word, that your word is the words that we come into agreement with today. So God, I thank you where you say that your word never returns void. It never doesn't accomplish that for which you send it. And so God, today, would you send your word to us? Send your word into the middle of our situation. Send your word into the middle of where we find ourselves in life right now. Lord, we are hungry for you. God, we open up our hearts in expectation. Lord, we were just singing it in worship, that we lay our defenses down. And so right now, God, we pull our defenses down. We open our mind up. We open our heart up. Would you come and change our life today? God, we thank you. We honor you. We bless you. In the power of your name. Come on, somebody shout amen this morning. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, I want to talk today about choices. We all make choices. We make choices every day in our life. Thousands of choices we're making all the time. You are sitting here this morning because you made a choice to come here. Pastor Brett came to church this morning wearing those clothes because he chose to look like that. The person next to you chose to put on the outfit they're wearing. Interesting choices. There are some very interesting, you know, I'm just messing. People are fascinating. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but sometimes if I'm, you know, I've got tired legs and I just want to sit somewhere. I just like watching people. People are fascinating. Sometimes you look at someone, you're like, what possessed you to choose to put those clothes on? What inspired you to buy those clothes in the first place? People make some crazy choices. Some of y'all are in this room right now looking at what I chose to wear this morning, thinking the same thing. That's okay. Hey, we're good. We're good. We're good. I find it fascinating the clothes that people choose to wear, but probably more than that is the cars that people choose to drive. Now, there are some, that's right, Josh. There are some great cars in the world. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call myself a huge car guy, but I appreciate a good car as much as the next guy. So there are some good cars in the world, and you can choose this or choose that depending on your desires. But then there are some cars that you look at. You don't just question the life choices of the person driving the car. It leaves you questioning the life choices and the sanity of the people who designed that car. I mean, there are some crazy cars in the world. I mean, you know, there's some fine cars, but you know, then those cars that you see, they're literally just boxes with an engine tacked on the front of it. These tiny little things that you can barely squeeze into, and they're just like no design process whatsoever. Let's get a box. Let's put some wheels on it, tack an engine on the front. We're good. Let's sell it. And you watch people driving those cars. It's like, why? There are so many other cars that cost the same amount of money, that are just as economic, have all the same features, but you chose that one. You are interesting. There are so many interesting people in the world. All of us are interesting. We all make our choices, some of them better than other choices. The truth is, though, we've all made bad choices. Now, I'm not talking about your outfit anymore. I didn't want you to come to church this morning so I could have a go at how you looked. You look beautiful. But hey, we all can make some bad choices sometimes. Sometimes you're driving along, maybe in your crazy little box car, and the light in front of you goes orange. And in that moment, you make a choice. You think to yourself, oh, that orange is just a shade of green. Oh, I can make that. And you get to the intersection, you've sped up a little bit, you go through, flash, caught, red light camera. That's an expensive choice you just made. It's never fun. One of the worst choices you can make in life is when you're out at a restaurant with a bunch of friends and you all come time to order and you're like, I'm going to order that. That sounds amazing. You read the description, you're like, this is amazing. And the food comes out, your dish is like that big. Everyone else has got like these mammoth creations and you just got this pretty little thing that's like, oh. Food envy has got to be one of the worst types of envy in the world. You're like, oh, why didn't I order that? And you're sitting at that table eating your meal, praying that someone doesn't finish theirs so you can fill yourself. Like, oh God, forgive me for my bad choices. But you know, some of the choices we make in life can have real consequences. Worse than costing you a few dollars, worse than just leaving you hungry for a meal, some of the decisions we make in life can have some real consequences. We're in the middle of an argument maybe with someone. We've got all this pent-up frustration. We're arguing with someone, and all of a sudden these words come out, and the moment you choose to speak those words, you're like, oh no, come back, come back. Oh, come on, don't leave me hanging out here like I'm the only one that's ever done that. We say these words, and the moment you say them, you're like, oh, that was a bad choice. I hate those moments. When you make a bad choice, choices like that can ruin relationships. Choices like that can hurt people. I remember I was in university. When I went to university, and it's scaring me how many years ago I went to university. The more I kind of reach out to our university students, I thought, oh my Lord, I'm not sure if you were born when I graduated. That's a scary thought. So there I am. I'm reaching out to university. When I was in university, I did a music degree. Now, before I got to university, I went to a high school with a very good music program. And so what happened is that we went a long way into music study by the time we finished schooling. And so that was brilliant. Problem is, when I got to university, I was at university with a bunch of people that didn't have that opportunity. So I was actually about 3 or 4 years ahead of where they all were, or most of them were. And so that made classwork very boring. And I remember one day, I think I was in first or second year, and we had this assignment to do. It was just a simple assignment. I looked at it and I'm like, oh, what a waste of time. I'm not going to learn anything. I know I can do this. It basically was listening to a song and transcribing the bass line from this song. I'm a bass player. This isn't even work for me. This is just a waste of time. And so I remember there we were, and I was about to get started on the assignment, and a friend of mine was a year ahead of me in university. And he just happened to have his assignment. He did the exact same assignment 12 months earlier. He had his assignment there. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to save myself some time and just copy this down. It'll be fine. I know how to do this. Not a problem. Not a problem. Bad choice. I remember a week later, I got an email from the dean, the head of the music school's office, said, you need to be at this meeting this afternoon. So I remember walking into the office and there were three other students sitting there and I thought, oh dear, it's not a good situation. I had a choice to make in that moment. What am I going to do? So I thought to myself, like any smart person would, I thought, I'm going to keep my mouth shut until I work out what's really going on here. And so he sits me down and he says, you let all of these people copy off you. And that's plagiarism. You cheated. You allowed these other people to cheat off your work. See, the problem was he had assumed that because I was so far ahead of most other people in the class that I'd gone ahead and done the assignment and everyone else had copied my assignment. So I just sat there and said nothing and allowed him to think what he thought. I walked out of that office and thought, that was a close one. If only he knew I was copying someone else in the first place. But see, I got away with one there. Truth is, that was a bad choice to make in the first place. To save a bit of time, I put myself right on the edge of being thrown out of university. If you know what universities are like around Australia, it's like if you get caught for plagiarism in one, you get banned from all of them. Like that's a serious deal. There are some bad choices that we can make in life sometimes. We all have to make choices. You know, research would show that we make anywhere between 3,000 and 35,000 choices every single day. Young children make 3,000. Adults make 35,000, whichever one you relate to more. You know, we're somewhere on that scale. But we all make thousands of choices every day. Did you know that God wants to play a part in the choices you make? God wants to help you with the choices that you need to make in your life. Yes, every one of those decisions God wants to help you with. Now, some of the decisions we make, we don't need to pray about. When I need to use the bathroom facilities, I do not need to fast and pray about that. God, is it your will that I go to the bathroom now? You don't need to pray that through. God has given you a body to work that out for yourself. Amen, somebody. But there are decisions where we want to invite God in to be a part of the process. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, it says, He directs our steps. In Isaiah 55, it says this in verse 8 to 9, God says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. This is why we want God a part of our decisions, our choices. Because the way God would do things sometimes is completely different to how we would do them. When we invite God into the process of making choices, making decisions, we invite Him with His higher ways, with His different ways of doing things to come and have input into our life. And who knows that when we live life the way God would have us live them, all of a sudden, not only are His ways higher, but the life that we're going to live is so much higher than the one we would live on our own. Come on, somebody. So here we have the man, Jonah. And he had God come along and direct his steps. I mean, we don't even hear the process. We don't even hear if Jonah was crying out to God saying, God, help me, God, do this. All we know is that God one day came and spoke to Jonah. Yo, Jonah, I got a message. Go preach it. It was that simple. God called Jonah to go to this city over here. And what did Jonah do? He ran in the other direction. Now, what I love about this story is Jonah decided to disregard God's opinion. He decided to disregard God's guidance and God's counsel. He ran in the other direction. And God gave Jonah a message and said, if you would go preach this message in the city over here, go to the city and tell them, your sins are so great, God's going to destroy you. Jonah's like, nah, I don't want to preach that. I'm going somewhere else. And we know the story, crazy story, gets thrown overboard, gets swallowed by fish, gets spewed up by the fish. Now, Jonah does something incredible in that moment. He said no the first time. The second time, he's like, all right, God, I did the wrong thing. I'm ready to obey you now. Now, we think Jonah's a bit crazy. I definitely think Jonah's a bit crazy. But what I love about him is it only took him two goes to get it right. Hey, sometimes it takes us a few more goes, doesn't it? Sometimes we're like 8, 9, 10 times around the same thing that God's trying to teach us. We're like, God, no, God, no. I get it. God, yes. And so there was Jonah the second time around. He's like, yes, God, okay, I'm going to go do this. And Jonah goes to the city called Nineveh and preaches this message. Your sins are so great, God will destroy you. Good sermon. Thanks for coming to church today. Get out of here. So that's what Jonah was doing. He's like, all right, city, come together. You're going to die. See you later. So great was their repentance in that moment. They realized their mistakes that they'd made, the wrong direction they were heading. The entire city, from the king all the way down to the servants, everyone in the city repented in that moment. And God in that moment, in his compassion, in his love, in his mercy, said, wow, their repenting is so great. I forgive you all. And every single person got saved. What a story. How proud would you be if you were Jonah? We don't know if he's ever preached before. The Bible never tells us if he preached before or afterwards. That could have been the only sermon he preached in his life. Now, I've preached a few sermons in my days. I've never preached a sermon where an entire city got saved. All this guy did was preach once. I'm like, come on, God, that would be incredible. I want some of that. I want to preach and see a city saved. Come on. Look at Jonah's response. It says this in Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. The change of plans greatly upset Jonah. God changed his mind. He relented. He forgave them. But Jonah got upset. He became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you were going to do this, God? This is why I ran away in the other direction. I knew that you're merciful and compassionate and slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Next verse. Just kill me now, Lord. Are you kidding me? What a psycho. Everyone responded to his altar call and he got upset about it. Kill me now. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted would not happen. What a crazy man. This is the bit of Jonah that most of us don't know. We're like, wow, what a preacher. He's a psycho. Don't be like Jonah. Be smart. So there was Jonah. Miracle. God works a miracle and he flips out. You know what's funny about this whole story? Some of us, we can do that as well. And you may not think you do that because you look at the story of Jonah and you're like, nah, he's so crazy. I would never be that dumb. Check this out. It was God's compassion and love and mercy that saved those people. When Jonah made the wrong decision and went in the wrong direction, it was God's compassion and love and mercy. The same thing that saved Jonah was the same thing that saved these people over here. You know, sometimes the same forgiveness that God shows us, he calls us to show to people over here, and we don't like that. The same blessing that God gives us over here when it happens to someone else, sometimes we're uncomfortable with that. The same anointing that God gives us to speak a word in season when it happens to someone else, sometimes, God, I don't know if I'm happy with that. Hey, we can all do this sometimes. And so Jonah was busy getting annoyed at God, but it was only because God actually worked a miracle. You know, God can do the same thing in our life sometimes. The word of God comes to us. It is I, God, thou shalt do that. Couldn't think of anything. Do so, and we get upset with God. We're like, God, we don't want to do that. He calls us to step out in faith. We're like, oh, God, I don't know if I could do that. He calls us to pray for that person. We're like, oh, no, surely, God, they wouldn't want prayer. He says, come on, step out and ask that person to church. Oh, nah, God, I don't think they'd want to come to church. He says, come on, run a small group. We're like, oh, God, that's a big sacrifice, you know. He's like, come on, give this up, give that up. We're like, oh, that's too much, God, that's too much. God's like, come on, forgive that person. We're like, God, they really don't deserve it. I mean, look at that. Look at them. They don't deserve it. You see, we've all done this before. Where God would come to us, he would speak, he would try and bring guidance, he would try and challenge us, he would try and encourage us. Hey, come on, this is the way to go. This is the way to go. And sometimes we can push back, but the miracle in Jonah's life was that even though he complained that God forgave and loved anyone, God still worked a miracle through him. Amen. God still worked a miracle through him.
The whole thought was that we were going to have such great encounters with God that people will experience the God of overflow and he'll get all the praise for it.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
to do at Planet Shakers is always just declare the word of God in our songs. There is so much power in declaring the word of God because it actually changes the atmosphere.
That's right. We experienced overflow in every part of the conference. The praise and worship was incredible. We had more people in that room than we've ever had before.
That's true. Yeah.
It was amazing. Oh, if you're loving, don't stop singing. Packed with people. You can feel the atmosphere shift.
It was like the music started, God started to move.
Even thinking about it now, and when I listen on the CD, it's electric, it's just powerful. We raise our hands up, we're going all out. We
lift it up in the name of Jesus. I mean, we wrote these songs for our church and obviously then our conference, but wherever people listen to this, our biggest prayer would be that they would be taken into the presence of Jesus. We're believing that through this praise and worship, people would encounter Him.
That's the whole purpose of why we record. This moment with God that changes their destiny forever.
Watches it and listens to it, that they experience the same amazing tangible presence that was, you know, well felt in the venue that night.
I hope you're enjoying the word so far. Choosing miracles. I believe there are miracles on the other side of our choices. We see it in the life of Jonah. Check out what's coming up next. There's another man in the Bible. Let me put it this way. I feel like you all still need some convincing here this morning. Somebody say, I choose miracles. Come on, like you still believe it. Say, I choose miracles. There's another story in the Bible that illustrates this. It's in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. It says, Saul, this is Saul, whose name was later changed to Paul. He went on to do crazy things, write 2/3 of the New Testament. It says this, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, what was the way? It was the Christians, it was the way, it was the ones who followed Jesus. If he found any who were of the way, whether man or woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you, Lord? And then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And that's not a word that we're very used to in 2016, the goads. Somebody join me, say goad. Come on, like you know what it means. Somebody say goad. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Now, what is a goad? I brought a picture along with me this morning. This is a picture of a goad. There it is. This is what a goad is. Now, a goad was about a 6 to 8 foot long stick. And farmers used to use it. And they used to stand behind usually their oxen or the animals that were plowing a field for them. And this thing was 6 to 8 feet long. Now, it was blunt on one end, but sharp and very pointed on the other end. And what they used to do is, you know, especially with an oxen, if there were oxen plowing a field and you were trying to train the animals to go in a straight line, it would need to be 6 to 8 feet long so it could reach from where you were standing to the shoulder of the animal that you were trying to direct. And as these animals were there plowing the field, doing what they were doing, the farmer would just get the goad there to just keep them going in the right direction. Now, every now and again, if the animal was being a little stubborn, you could just give it a poke up the, from behind and just get it moving again. But these things were not weapons. Farmers had to carry these around all day where they were plowing. They were light. They weren't weapons. They weren't heavy. They were simply there to guide and direct the animal. However, every now and again, when an animal would get petulant or get frustrated and begin to kick, all a farmer would need to do is just place the goad behind the leg of the animal that was kicking. And every time it went to kick, it would pierce itself calls itself pain and learn very quickly, it is hard to kick against the goad. Now imagine kicking the sharp end of that thing. That would not end well for any of us. And so Jesus shows up to Paul, says, "Yo, Paul, it is hard for you to kick against the goads." And sometimes when we think of the story of Paul and the conversion that happens, it's like, man, it was made so easy for Paul. Like Jesus appeared to him in a light and said, "Hey, get saved." And Paul got saved and went on to change the world. Why doesn't that happen to any of us? You see, Paul wasn't just saved in an instant. What Jesus was saying there, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. It shows right there that Jesus was trying to direct Paul into the right direction time and time again. And Paul just kept kicking back against what God was trying to do in his life. When Paul was there consenting to Stephen getting stoned to death, that was Jesus trying to say, "Yo, Paul, there's a reason you're troubled by that." When he would kill people and lock them up and they would still pray for him while it was happening, that was Jesus trying to get his attention. When Paul would lock and persecute Christians and they would say, "Yo, Paul, Jesus is the Messiah you're searching for," that was God trying to get Paul's attention and trying to say, "Hey, Paul, I'm the one you've been looking for. I'm the one you've been searching for." And there was Paul just kicking in the wrong way. Jesus shows up and says, "Paul, you're damaging yourself. You're not hurting me, you're hurting you. When you go in the wrong direction, you cause yourself pain." And so there was Jesus trying to bring direction to Paul's life. I think I need a little bit of help to illustrate this just for a moment. Pastor Brad, could you come on stage? Vasanti, could you come and join me on stage for a moment? Yeah, I think this will be good. I think this will be wonderful. Give it up for Vasanti and Pastor Brad as they come. Now, every now and again, Pastor Brett gets brought onto stage because, you know, to role play, and quite often he's the devil in these circumstances. But today, Pastor Brett, no, that's bad. Today, you are the Lord. This is wonderful. And Vasanti, come over here. Vasanti represents every one of us. She represents all of us. And so this is what life can be like sometimes. Lord, would you start to go somewhere? And Vasanti, I want you to stop. I want you to push back on him. I want you to change his direction. Come on, try harder. Like you're kicking against a goad. You can kick him if you want. I mean, I don't mind. Come on, Vasanti, try harder. Come on, try a bit harder. Come on, you can get this. You can stop the Lord. You can change the Lord's will. Come on, you can do this. Come on. That's it. Vasanti's got about as much chance of stopping Brett. There's not a chance in the world. Like, not a chance in the world. Now, for a moment, this is what I want you to do, right? Lord, I want you to take Vasanti wherever you want her to go. Doesn't matter if she wants to go there or not. Okay? Vasanti, you can fight back. No, fight back. Go where you want to go. Fight back. You can't, can you? He can literally do whatever he wants to do right now. Whoa, don't break her. Come on, there's a tripping hazard right there. Okay, you can stop. See, this is what happens in life. When we try and fight back, I mean, that's how futile it is. It's honestly not even worth it. Who's gonna get caused pain in that situation? Vasanti is gonna lose every time. The second illustration shows the power of God. God could come down into our life and make us do whatever he wanted. He is powerful enough to make you go this way or to make you go that way. But God, in all of his power and in all of his wisdom, doesn't do that. God gives us a choice. He gives us a choice of saying, will you choose to go along with what God does? Will you choose to obey in each season? Will you? And there's God just leading us and guiding us every time. No, go this way. No, go that way. Now, he'll let us go off track if we want to. But guess who's going to be cause pain in that situation? It's not God. It's us. Give it up for the Lord and us, Vasanti and Brett. You see, what is amazing about both Jonah and Saul, who became Paul, is what was on the other side of their obedience. Miracles. Miracles were on the other side of their obedience. You thought I was talking about miracles when we started, and then you got sidetracked. You thought we were talking about obedience. Hey, they go together. What was on the other side of Jonah's obedience was the miracle of seeing an entire city saved. What was on the other side of Paul's obedience to come into line with where God was going? Paul planted crazy amounts of churches, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. What is on the other side of your obedience? I want to suggest there's miracles this morning. I want to say that God has miracles on the other side of your obedience. God has miracles on the other side of you choosing to line up with Him. God's desire is not for us to settle. God's desire is not for us to stand still. God wants to take you higher. He wants to take you further. He wants to take you beyond where you've ever been before. But our obedience opens up at the door for miracles. God wants to move us forward in life. Somebody say, I choose miracles. God would have us change. God would have us grow. But you know, obedience can be uncomfortable sometimes. Growing can be uncomfortable sometimes. Choosing to go where God wants us to go sometimes can be uncomfortable. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever been through this before, but there was a time in my life when I was in primary school, and the older I got, the bigger I got. And the bigger I got, the more the king of the schoolyard I was. I'm like, I like this. This is good. And then one day, a tragic day came. My parents told me I couldn't go to primary school anymore, that I had to go to big high school. And all of a sudden, I went from being a big fish in a little pond to being a very little fish in a much larger pond. That was uncomfortable. I enjoyed it when I was king of the schoolyard. I did not enjoy going back to being the runt of the litter. I went from being the biggest to being the smallest. I've heard Bishop Jakes illustrate a similar thing in this way. He talks about how all of us in life, we enjoy it when we go up a level. You know, when you go from like a level 4 to a level 5, or when God promotes you from a level 7 to a level 8. For anyone that's new here this morning, God doesn't have levels. It's just an illustration. But if He did, I'd be very hot. No, I'm kidding. So weird. It's just illustrative. But if you know, all of us enjoy going from level 6 to 7, level 8 to 9, but it's very uncomfortable going from a level 9 to a level 10. Because you're a big 9 in one dimension. When you go to level 10, all of a sudden you start at the bottom again, but in another dimension. And you go up and you go up and you go up, level 16, yeah, level 17, level 19, I'm a big guy again. And then God levels you up again. All of a sudden you're a level 20. It's higher than 19. But again, you're starting at the bottom, just in a whole new dimension. Yeah. You know, some of us get uncomfortable when God tries to do those things in our life. He's trying to push you forward. He's trying to grow you. He's trying to say, hey, come on, you're giving good right now, but I've got a whole nother dimension for you. And it's uncomfortable when we first get there. God says, hey, come on, you're serving good right now, but I've got a whole nother dimension. Some of us, God speaking to us this morning is like, hey, come on, your faith is good right now, but I want to take you up to a whole nother dimension. And it means we've got to get back on our knees again. We're going to get back fasting again. We've got to start at the bottom of that dimension again. But hey, it's because God wants to move you forward. There are miracles on the other side of our obedience. There are miracles on the other side of our choices. God has miracles that He wants to work in our life. I believe God sent me with a word this morning to stir up miracles. Maybe you stop believing like you should be believing. Maybe you kind of leveled out where you're at, but God wants to say, hey, come on, believe again, obey again. There are miracles He's got for you in your life. God's got miracles. He wants to take you higher. He wants to take you higher. He wants to take you higher. You know, we just finished that Planet Unit camp last weekend, and the testimonies that have come back in, whoo, incredible. We had this one guy who God challenged him. We came around as a group of university students and took the time out during camp to give. I love having the opportunity to give. It's an opportunity to put God first in my heart again and again and again. And God began to challenge this young man to give uncomfortably. And he was challenged and he was umming and ahhing and he was challenged, but he chose, okay, God, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you in this. Do you know when he went to work on the Monday morning, He was short on cash because he'd given generously. He didn't give to go into debt, that's silly, but he gave generously. And he was short on cash and he walks into work and the boss hands him a white envelope. Now he's Asian, so Asians are used to receiving red envelopes. So he's like, what does this mean? White envelope? Just messing. So he receives this white envelope, he opens it up. He got a promotion. Second time he's been promoted in 7 months. That doesn't happen. People don't get promotions that often. He got promotion in 7 months. He chose to obey God and God moved in miracle power in his life. Come on, somebody. We have another one of our students who really felt God challenge him this year to step out and to be obedient with where he was calling them. And he spoke to this student, said to her, he said, you need to do college this year. Problem was, her father wasn't a fan of that. Her father didn't agree with that. And so cut her off relationally and cut her off financially, all for following the call of God. It's how real the call of God can get sometimes. Cut her off financially, cut her off relationally, but she knew she wasn't trying to dishonor her father. She did her best to honor her father, but she was obeying her heavenly father. She's been doing college all year this year, and about a month ago, her father called her and said, I want you to come over. And as they were having dinner, he repented in that moment, knew that he'd been doing the wrong thing. And not only was their relationship restored, I love this, miracle working power of God. He said, by the way, I've been saving all the money that I should have been giving you to help you live on. I want to give it all to you right now. And in that moment, she had enough money to sponsor people to come to camp, to pay off everything she needed to pay off, enough left over. I'm telling you, when you trust God, hey, come on, somebody. When you choose to trust God, when you choose to follow God, God will come through for you. God has miracles in store for you. Woo! God has miracles. Hey, come on, somebody shout, miracles. Come on, shout, I choose miracles. Oh, I want to tell you one more. I know we're out of time. I could share so many. We had this student come to camp, and we pray for this all the time, right? So I've been to university. I'm going to university at the moment, and we're reaching university students. I'm very used to the university system. They are a law unto themselves. They do what they want. But we pray, you know, God, we want you to open up the realm for people to come to camp. No matter what they got on the schedule, God, make a way. And so we pray for classes to get shifted and assignments to be moved. And to be honest, I can't remember if I've ever heard that that's happened before, but we pray anyway. I don't want anything holding anyone back from coming to encounter God. And so we pray, we pray, we pray. This one young man, he signed up for camp, knowing he had all of this stuff on over that weekend, but said, God, I know you're calling me to be there. The day before camp, he gets an email. He had a tutorial on the day of camp. He gets an email saying, oh, we've decided to postpone the tutorial. We need to push it back. That's a good start. He also had two assignments due. Gets another email a few hours later saying, oh, by the way, we've chosen to push the due date for those assignments back 2 whole weeks. Now, come on, somebody. If anyone knows university, that doesn't happen. But I'm telling you, when you choose to trust God, God has miracles on the other side. God has miracles on the other side of our obedience. There's miracles waiting on the other side of your choices. There's miracles waiting on the other side of you trusting to follow God. Come on, somebody shout miracles in this place. Come on, shout like you believe it. Say miracles. I choose miracles.
Thanks so much for joining us today here at Planet Shakers. We hope you enjoyed the message today. You know, we believe that God has miracles in your life. Not just miracles. I believe that God wants to bring an overflow of miracles in your life. I don't know what you're believing God for, but we are praying for you. We're praying for the miracle working power of God to be so evident in your life. Hey, why don't you check out us on our website at planetshakers.com. Come join us on social media at Planet Shakers on all of the platforms. And hey, we've just released a new album. It's called Overflow. You all should get that album. It is incredible. We pray that it blesses you and helps you encounter God's presence wherever you are. We'll see you soon.